Before I begin sharing with you God's word, I'd be remiss if I didn't say a few thank yous. Number one, we're thankful to God that we live in a country right now that we're able to assemble. I won't say any more about that, but it's such a privilege. And maybe when this thing's all over with and we look back, maybe we were taken for granted that we can assemble and worship God. And also appreciate something Charles said in his prayer, the leadership. As most are aware, we don't have elders, but we have a huge advantage. Not only was Virgil, but Jack as well, served as elders in the past. And that's a huge advantage that we have, the leadership, not only now, but just in general. Yes, as the congregation, the men get together and talk about these things, but we need the wisdom from older people to guide us through that. And especially now, we want to make sure, you know, that we're doing the right thing. And appreciate Virgil and his efforts in that. Sometimes we take decision making and doing what's right for granted as well. And I'd like to thank the congregation. You know, it's a little bit of inconvenience, but man, I've seen nothing but cooperation, not only with our members, but with our visitors. There's no pushback. Everybody's, you know, happy to do whatever we got to do. And that's not always true at a lot of places you go to. And also, I'd like to thank Ken and Virgil coming down and adding a couple more speakers downstairs. So if we need to spread out some more or have more people assemble, we don't know. This could go on for another couple weeks or a couple months. We just don't know what the best thing is. And even as a congregation, we'll have to make those decisions and to be very cautious during this time. So hopefully I've covered everybody that I wanted to. But again, thank you to everybody. We'll get through it, but it does take some cooperation and leadership. So the title of my sermon this morning is, Are We Prepared? Now, I thought, you know, everybody's going to be kind of down a little bit. I don't know. I'm kind of down when something like this is going on in your country and people are dying. I don't have more to say about this later, but people are losing their jobs. People are losing incomes. People are going to lose their houses and all those kind of things. It can kind of get you down. I think it's just human nature if we hear those things. Now, we may not be affected. I still am working, but some may not be. I heard Timothy say they shut down Barnes & Noble. So let's think about Timothy and his family during these times. And I just want to say right now, as a congregation, if anybody needs help, if anybody wants to pray about it or anything, we're here to help you. That's the purpose of the Lord's church. So don't think you're out on an island and they don't really care. No, we care. Now, we don't know everybody's situation, so you need to speak up as far as that goes, because all of us are capable to help each other in a time of need. But the lesson today, are we prepared? I just trying to make a timely lesson. And I want to look at three different areas about this. And that is our past preparation, our present preparation, and our future preparation. You know, when you just look at a common English definition of being prepared, of course, the word prepare, without getting too technical, is a transitive verb. And basically, it's to make ready beforehand for some purpose. For instance, we prepare food for dinner. It also has other nuances of definition as far as being prepared to put in proper state of mind. He's prepared to listen. So preparation is just part of our lives. Every day, I mean, you prepared to be here. You probably prepared even prior to the morning coming to be here, have your clothes washed, be ready. It's not something uncommon, but spiritually speaking, preparation is key. And so many times, because we're not prepared, then when things come, we're not ready for them. So just to make ready beforehand, even that definition itself is screaming out, it takes forethought. You know, people that are prepared have forethought. They look prior to. Good leaders in our country, And I appreciate what Virgil and Charles said, but we need to pray for them right now. They're making decisions that are life-threatening, for instance, and financial threatening, and all kinds of situations. They got to think way ahead. And as Christians, we got to think way ahead. As parents, we have to think ahead. If you just live in the present moment only, then sometimes you're gonna get lost in the shuffle, so to speak. So let's look at our past, present, being prepared, or past preparation. So I'm going to speak mainly to Christians here, but if you're not a Christian, then it falls under the same type of thing about being prepared. But we came to God, and we were all sinners, and we needed salvation. So as part of our past preparation, we became a Christian, a follower of Christ, and therefore that is building a foundation. We'll look at a verse talking about that in a minute, but that's a past preparation that we can do. Become a Christian, be in a right relationship with God, and we're going to see how that's going to help even with our present and our future preparation. So that's really simple. But you know, a lot of people are not Christians, or they're not Christians according to the scriptures. And so they're past preparation isn't correct. Now, when I talk about our past preparation, it's all based on the scriptures. It's not based on worldly wisdom, and we may talk about that a little bit later, but it's based on God's word. So God has warned us, God has told us to be prepared. And one of the first things he says is to be one of my children. Then he can help us, okay? So we hear, we believe, we confessed, and we were baptized. That's past preparation. That's over with and done with. And we don't have to, if you will, continue every week to go do all those things. We've established that, okay? And it reminds me of 2 Peter 1:13. Of course, I don't have any PowerPoint, so a lot of these scriptures I want you to turn to. But 2 Peter 1:13, what a blessing, what a thankfulness that we can have in our hearts that God has given us what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, do we really believe that? Do we ever doubt that God has given us all things? Is there something that you could say God hasn't given us? He's given us his word. He's given us his son. As we looked this morning, he gave us a sacrifice. I mean, look at all those things. And he gave us past preparation. God's not going to tell us, Rob, Virgil, Martha, everybody here in the office, be prepared. But I haven't given you the tools to be prepared. We have all the tools we need for this life, and God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The second thing, as far as past preparation, is a solid foundation. A solid foundation. You know, whether right now during the virus, or even as you reflect back on your life, and you say to yourself, there's been difficulties, there's been trying things, maybe just things that's went well in your life. And you say to yourself, why is that? Now, we're going to give God all the credit for doing this. We can't stand up here and say, yeah, you know, I went over here to school and I got my degree and I'm so smart and everything is on me. No. What does it say there in Luke 10? That at our very best, we're unprofitable servants. But do we listen to God's word? Let's turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. These are all verses we're familiar with. But as it applies to being prepared and past preparation. Verse 46 says, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now that instantly eliminates 95% or 99% of the religious world. That they call him Lord. We believe in you, but they're not doing the things what he says. Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, that's important about doing, I will show you to whom he is like. Verse 48, he is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundations on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Think about this church building. Now, I understand part of the building was here, but even the new part that was constructed years later, Virgil could give us all that. I remember some of it. You know, they laid the foundational walls. They built it on concrete. Can you imagine us saying, "Nah, we don't need concrete. Let's just build it on the earth, build it on sand." We would be standing in it right now because it wouldn't withstand. But how about spiritually? In our past preparation, have we really built our foundation upon Jesus Christ? Or is our foundation upon wisdom of the world? Now, here's how you can answer that question. Whenever there's troublesome times or whenever there's decisions made in your life, how do you make those decisions? When you have to make a financial decision, when you have to make all kinds of decisions we make every day of our life, is our foundation Jesus Christ, or is it upon our own will, or upon our own thoughts? We know that God says that his thoughts are not our thoughts, and our thoughts aren't his thoughts. And even as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his thoughts higher than our thoughts. We could go around the room, we could talk about this downstairs. We've all made decisions, and we look back and say, that was a decision that wasn't made upon the foundation of the scriptures. Huge mistake that we make in that. Now, hopefully, and I'm not going to dwell on this, but we also can thankful to God that we have forgiveness of sins and that we can say, "Hey, Father, I have sinned. I have went against your ways. Help me in the future through the knowledge of your scriptures that we can now make these right decisions. We can be on a solid foundation." So just reflect back on your life, because a lot of times we see Christians that are wavering. We see Christians that you wonder where their foundation is. What they're making decisions, and we've all done it, but we got to help them to make the right decision based on God's word, not on worldly wisdom. So one more thing as far as past preparations. Of course, we obeyed the immediate commands to become a child of God. But something that else is in our past preparation that I want you to consider for a minute here, and that is God himself. So our faith every day is activated through what we believe. And the devil can put doubts. Rob, do you really think there's a God? Do you really think that this was all created by him and he's on a heaven's throne? And yeah, absolutely. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 8. Now, every day when you get up, I don't do this as much, but I should, and you just walk out your door and you see the creation. Now, creation means so much different. Maybe somebody looks at a flower, somebody looks at the mountain, somebody looks at the sun. It can mean different things to different people. But I say to myself, look at the God we're serving and the great things that he's done. Psalms chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set the glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightiest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea. And whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea, our Lord, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You know, this sets the order. We have God and we have man. And I won't go into about how we have dominion. We understand that. But we see how great a God we serve. And this should be the foundation of our preparedness. Somebody says, what have you done in the past to prepare for current events? And we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm a child of God. I believe in his word. And I know who God is. And I revere him. And I praise him. And I understand how he made all of this and what a wonderful blessing we have. You can take that for granted. It is so easy. When things are a part of your day, each and every day, you say to yourself, oh, I just take it for granted that I have a car to drive in, I have air to breathe, I have food in the refrigerator. These are all things that have come from God. And I don't want to bore you with my trip to Africa, but let me tell you something. Whether I ever go back again, being in that third world country changed my view of the great things that we have. When you see somebody that lives in a house that never had running water, has never had heat, has never had air conditioning, has never had inside toilets, it has to go fetch their water every day, and the things they eat, you just go over there for a few days and or go online, you can see it too, and you'll really appreciate the wonderful blessings that we have. And that helps us have a greater appreciation when we have our past preparation, and we have to make sure that we are appreciative of those things, because that is our foundation. That is our foundation. Well, now let's move into our present preparation. Now, with God's help, and He's no doubt helped us, our past preparations, the things we've done in the past, can help us with our present situation. And what I mean by that is our day-to-day things now. Now, we can't live in the past all the time. There's nothing about the past that we can change or make different. But we live presently. And again, are we prepared even to live presently? Now, again, if you didn't prepare very well in the past, your present preparation is going to be hindered. Now, that can be altered and changed, and we can do that. But how are we presently? You know, they're talking about PPE a lot, personal protective equipment. And I've never heard so much about gloves and masks, and I understand the purpose of all that. But I was thinking to myself, what is the Christian's PPE? What would it be? Well, scriptures talk about it. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, this is the Christian's personal protective equipment. Okay? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. There's one. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's present right now. Now, I understand some of this may be lean on our past preparation, but sometimes they cross over. Stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, our government, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having, here's another piece, loins girded about with truth. Another one, having the breastplate of righteousness. Here's another one, and your feet shod with what? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. There's another one, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And here's another one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. There's two, which is the word of God. And here's another one, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching, therefore, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is talking about present preparation. And if we have the Word of God, we have these things that were described in there, then we can withstand. But if we don't have these things, I don't know what you would use. It'd be like going to a battle and not having any weapons. The Christian has the weapons. The Christian has the equipment. The Christian has the tools in this present day to help us no matter what it is. Now, we often talk about this kind of is putting on the defense and the offense, if you will. And you look at some of the examples. I want to look at one here. And I recently read the book of Job. It's sometimes good just to go back and read Job. Especially during this time, I think, oh, I'm going to read about Job. And we all understand the story of Job. We understand that he was very faithful. And the devil comes to God and says, you built a hedge around him, and nothing can touch him, and nothing can harm him. And he's only faithful because of those things that you have, that they have. And how about us? Are we only faithful because of the things that we have? I'm trying to make parallel here to the story. And God said, okay, you think I've built a hedge around him, and he's only faithful because of those things. You go Do what you want, but you cannot take his life. That's the only requirement. And we know the story. You start reading there in chapter 1, chapter 2. You see that what he's lost, his family, and all that. Just look at the story, all that he had. And then consider his friends, you know. Consider the people around us, the naysayers. Oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do this. It's an excellent story. Now, I have no way of proving it, but they say that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And how timely, how fitting. Whenever people had access to that, I'm not sure, but we have access now. But think about God from the very beginning of time. Gave man some writings to help him through difficulty. And it's an extreme case. I mean, Job lost it all. He lost it all. And he did write, and it was all restored. But he didn't know that. And the many times in there where his friends speak and then Job speaks, and it takes several chapters before you start talking. God starts talking to Job. Job's pleading to God. But I think God was allowing what was going on, and the devil was doing those things. But we can learn from stories like Job and some other people in the scriptures. And we look at these things and say to ourselves, in our present situation, we can look to that example. And that's some negative things that we can read in the scriptures to help us get through. But when I talk about present preparation, how about just the time right now? And everybody's going to have different opportunities. I think of Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto who? His brethren? Oh, it says all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, I wasn't going to harp on the virus, and I'm not, but I think it's on our minds. But there's a lot of good that may come out of this. Now, we don't talk about the deaths. We're not talking about the people that have that. There's nothing good about that. Maybe the good is that we can catch how this spreads next time a lot quicker, other countries and our own country. But I heard somebody talking about how families are together. And their kids can't go to school. The kids can't do any activities. There's some good here. A lot of families spend zero time together. I don't know if you know that. You probably do. But they're just, everybody's going somewhere different. And I'm not binding how I was raised, sitting at a dinner table every night. I think there's a huge advantage to things like that. But maybe people, for one, are thinking how good we had it. That we could watch sports on TV, we could go to concerts, we could do all this stuff, and it's all been taken away. Well, that's the way life is, right? But make the best of it. Families that are together, spending time together. How about just religious discussions? Now, I'm going to share a couple things. I've had some religious discussions with people that I've never had at work. One lady told me, she said, "Rob, I think this is the end times. God said," and I said, "Well, number one, no man knows, nor do I know. It could be, don't know." But anyway, I didn't want to argue with her about that, but it was just an opportunity. I didn't know if she was religious at all. I kind of suspected it, but just being with her last week, and she made the comment about that, and I just said, "Well, where do you go to church?" And, you know, it was a good discussion, and I'm hoping in the future I can have more discussions, not only with her, but with others. Diane and I talked to one of our neighbors, and she made a statement that I wonder if Christians even believe, and that is, what a wonderful thing we have in God that we can lean on during these times. And it's true. And it may not be as bad for us. It could be. We don't know. But in general, it's what's on people's minds. I talked to a third person at work this week, and she was talking about the stimulus package, that, you know, it's going to come out. And I said, you know, I don't know. They don't need to send me money. Send it to somebody that really needs it. But anyway, that aside, she said, "Hey, when I get my stimulus package, I've got a friend that has kids and she's out of work. I'm giving them my money." I thought, wow, what a great thing to do. That's presently being prepared to do good works. That's what Christians do. Now, what about you? Now, I'm not binding anything about our opportunities, but I think sometimes when there's a crisis, Because some people might say, oh, if I had an opportunity, Rob, I would just do it. Okay, here we are. We have an opportunity right now. Now, do what you can. I know some are retired, may not have the opportunities that I do. But you could go next door to your neighbor and say, hey, I'm running to the store. Do you need something? You know, there's an opportunity. You don't talk to them about the gospel right then and there. But you can talk about, hey, I'm just trying to help you to do good. And you're not probably just doing it just to be seen. You're doing it because that's what Christians do. That's their present preparation. And if we're not presently prepared to do good works now, during this crisis, we'll never be. The scriptures say, as we have, therefore, opportunity. Opportunity and ability equals responsibility. And going to the store and getting somebody milk may seem insignificant. But that's a work, brethren. That's something God, you're helping those. This is what the scriptures are saying. Those that are in need. there's a lot of people that are going to lose their jobs. A lot of people in unemployment. There's a lot of people that are going to be down and depressed. And we don't know the full extent of what's going on. Maybe we can help. Maybe we can just say something to them, you know, to encourage them. And a lot of times, I enter God into that. God is wonderful. God can help us in a time of need. And I remember after 9/11, how many people were flooding churches. And we're a long ways from 9/11 of 01. We're in 2020. Maybe, don't know, but could this be a situation where now people are reminded again of the great things that we have? I've never seen a complete, total united. Now, we've had other viruses, but I don't remember, and you can jog my memory if I've forgotten something, but I don't remember this being like this whole United States, whole world. I just don't remember it. So it's a serious thing. And, you know, you can talk to your kids or you can talk to some friends. They're dealing with the same thing many states away. So it's widespread. And I'm actually really proud of Americans and a lot of things that they're doing. It just seems I work with, you know, there's 1,500, but they've reduced our staff at National Jewish to probably under 600. They furloughed all those people. Go home, use your vacation, or file for unemployment. 600 to 700 people. And how many lives they've had affected. And there's opportunities that we have. But are we prepared? Our present preparation, we're prepared for this. Look at the many examples in the scriptures of people that were prepared to do the will of God, to help those others. Look at Noah. Imagine, like in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear. What did he do? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Well, what's amazing to me, every time I read that, for 120 years. Now, none of us are going to probably live to 120, but can you imagine him, just 120 of his years, probably building this ark? Wrap your hands around that. You want to talk about preparation. Every day, out there building it and having faith in God. God told him to build it. He said, I'll build it. How about Abraham? How about the prophets? How about the preparation they had to have? How about John the Baptist? His job was what? To prepare the way for Jesus. What if John didn't want to do it, John the Baptist? What if he wasn't prepared? What if the preparing the way for Jesus was like, I don't know if I want to do this, the persecution. Oh, by the way, having my head chopped off later on. He was prepared. These are examples. And of course, the ultimate example of being prepared is Jesus Christ. He came to this earth prepared way beforehand, but he still had to do it, didn't he? And that's the thing about being prepared and doing good works. These aren't one-time things. Somebody says, hey, what good works have you done in the past year? Well, I did this and this. Okay. Are you done? Yeah, well, you know, I did it. God, help, you know, save me. I've done these works. Okay, but what about today? What about next month? What about next year? And so much of the time in America, in our culture, the focus is on ourselves. When we wake up in the morning, is the first thing you think about, what great thing and what good thing am I going to do for others as the opportunities arrive? I'm prepared, I'm ready. Or is it, boy, what kind of satisfaction can I get out of today? It's a mindset that the Christian should have to be prepared at all times to do what they can do. And that's a blessing that we all have. So to finish up here, how about our future preparation? Now, there's little doubt, I'm sure, here in the audience what future preparation is, and that is eternal life. Now, our future preparation can be tied to our present and our past preparation. For instance, I'll just make a secular, like maybe you're planning for retirement. You're preparing for retirement. Well, that takes some past and present preparation so that when you get to retirement, yeah, it's the best you can. It's planned out, right? Now, if you didn't do anything, when you get to retirement and you have no money, you can't say, well, I guess I should have prepared better. Okay, that's true. But how much more spiritually are you prepared for future events, for things that are going to go on? I'm not going to read it. I'm purposely trying to keep this as short as I can. But look at Matthew 25, 1 through 13, about the foolish virgins. Just read that, verses 1 through 13, about how that some had the oil and some didn't, and some wanted to get it from others. There's preparation. But there's also some other preparations that's happening for sure that we need to be conscientious of. And that's Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand. This is Matthew chapter 5, 25. We all know about that chapter. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. What? Prepared for the devil and his angel. There's some future preparation that has already gone on. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, a few verses before. Some good preparation. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. What? Prepared for you from the foundations of the world. So there is future preparation. God has done that. John 14, 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's houses are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go what? To prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there you may be also. Some question exactly what that means, but we do know there's things are prepared in heaven. There's things that are prepared in hell. And we're going to end up in one of those places that is prepared, but our destination is based upon how we prepare on this earth. And things that come up in our life, difficulties, if we've been prepared for them, then we can just take them on. I'm ready for them. And sometimes we also have to realize that there may be a lot of things that we're not completely prepared for. For instance, they're talking now, why did the government have all, well, come on, that's, I'm sure there's, you know, a little bit of, give people the benefit of the doubt that you can't have everything, right? But you can prepare. Maybe in the future, it'll be more prepared. But in our own lives, there's going to be things that maybe we weren't prepared for, maybe just events. But again, we have the foundation that'll get us through those things because we are prepared. And we can take on things. But what about you this morning? I ask the question again, are you prepared? How about your past preparedness, your present preparedness, and are you ready for being future, your future preparedness? Each and every one of us have the opportunity now. Some of you might say, yeah, you know, I'm kind of a procrastinator, Rob, and sometimes things come up and I just kind of put them off. Well, as I said, there may be some things that you put off, like you might not mow your grass on Tuesday, you might move it on Wednesday. That there can be an attitude issue that you procrastinate everything, but don't procrastinate your spiritual preparation. be on time, be ready, be the type of person that God wants us to be. And then no matter what comes in our life, we're prepared. That's a warning from the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. Study to show ourselves approved to God. That's presentation. That's being prepared now. Study. Knowing God's word is, I call it, preventative maintenance. Are we ready to take on different situations in our life as they come? And if we study and we understand God's word, his word can help us get through this. But unfortunately, sometimes even Christians, it's like, what do I do? Well, just go to the scriptures. What do the scriptures say? It's not rocket science. Look at the scriptures. Look at the situation. Sometimes decisions are made tough, but sometimes decisions are made easy too if we just follow the scriptures and forget all the other nonsense out there and just follow the scriptures. It's just that simple. We now offer the invitation to those here, whether you're not a Christian and want to be obedient to God's word, the things are prepared. We just have to put water in the baptistry. We can baptize you. Or maybe you're a Christian and you've reflected upon your preparedness, and maybe that's something you need to work on or something else in your life. Whatever the case may be, the invitation is being extended here this morning as we stand and sing.